You remember the other Wednesday night, I read a passage in Galatians and said then that it would take more time than just a little few comments to deal with it, and sometime, Lord willing, I would deal with it. I believe this is the time. I hope that's true. Pray that it is. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, if you want to find all the places, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, and chapter 12 and verse 26, and Romans 11 and verse 20. Now, I suppose all of you are familiar with those books, so it won't take us long to turn from one place to another. I must, so you can do the same thing. I know that's not the chronological order, but I want to read that one in Romans 11, 20 last. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, I believe it is. I'll see as soon as I get there. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, Romans chapter 11 verse 20, specifically spoken to Gentile believers who are being grafted in to the natural olive tree. The last phrase, be not high-minded, but fear. Now, if you gather those up in your mind, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If one member suffer, all members suffer with it. And if one member be honored, all rejoice with it. Be not high-minded, but fear. Now, I want to talk to you about that verse in particular in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. I don't know how many times you've read it. I have many times. But let me read it once more, and then we'll bow our heads in a word of prayer. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. And as always, we stand amazed at the wisdom in the providence of our God. We pray that all of us may see ourselves because we realize that we're there somewhere if we but have eyes to see. Grant, dear Lord, that we shall learn the lesson of the benevolent behavior of the brotherhood of believers. Help us, we pray, to know that these things were not written to entertain the intellect, but to inspire the inward man, that we might masticate, assimilate, and demonstrate these marvelous shoulders of truth. Grant, dear Lord, thy blessings upon those who are sick and less fortunate at this time. And help those of us who have reasonable health and are able to be in the house of the Lord, know that it is but for the grace of God. And because of that grace that we are here. Oh God, help us not to forget. Help us not to take for granted. Help us to be aware that it is by thy grace. Grant now, dear Lord, that we may be able to drive out of our minds those things that would hinder and keep us from grasping eternal truth and being able to make the transition between hearing the truth and walking in the truth. Help us to be thankful. For we realize the grievous nature of the sin when the scriptures say, neither were they found. We know that the road downhill begins with the first step on the pavement of neither were they found. Help us not to forget the mercies that are new every morning. For we pray in the Lord Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now I want to talk to you about the mystery and the marvel of the wheel of providence. Now that seems like an unlikely subject for what I want to deal with, but I think that as I progress a little in the course of the message, you can see the wheel that I see in that verse. Now, I said a while ago, as I prayed, that all of us are there if you can see yourself. We're all in that verse, somewhere or another. And I realize in the outset that you only see two classes. And confessedly, I only saw two classes in the beginning, but after a while I kept looking and I saw four classes in that one verse, and then it made me realize that I was looking at a wheel, that I was looking at the wheel of providence. And then I began to marvel as I watched that wheel. I began to realize the mysteries of the infinite intelligent spirit that designed that wheel. And I could see the wisdom of Almighty God, contrary to what we sometimes think. Situations that we would very often change. Things that happen that we would not permit. God overruling where we thought it was unwise. All watching the wheel. Ezekiel had an experience looking at the wheels. And he saw wheels within wheels. He saw wheels that ran in every direction. And I verily believe that one, at least, of the interpretation of the wheels that Ezekiel saw was a marvel of the providence of God. But I want to look only at the wheel of providence as it relates to the proper behavior of the brotherhood of believers. And I need all the help that I can get. And I thought maybe if I could get you not only to hear, but to see. Jesus said, blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. And so, if a couple of you men, Jim, if you and Jim, would roll that blackboard out there, if you would, for me, and turn it around where it kind of faces the congregation, to see if I can get some visual help with this message. And if I can, and the Lord blesses it, it may be that we remember it years to come. And I hope that it'll make a difference in your life. Now, I confess that's not a very pretty wheel. But if you would just kind of turn it where maybe everybody would be able to see it, push it further back that way, maybe, where the light will shine on it, that might be all right. I'm sure that you can't read everything that's on that wheel from back down the back. And I can call your attention to it, and you can look at it later. Maybe some of you can see it. Probably it would have been profitable if we'd put it right straight in front of this table, and then you could see it and listen to me, because you sure couldn't see me. But if you look at that wheel, I have put some spokes in there. You have all heard the saying that every spoke has its turn at the top. That is an old, old saying. Or every spoke has his turn at the bottom. One is as true as the other. And if you look at the top of that circle, I have written there the word compassion. And if you look at the bottom, you'll see I have written the word cry. The cry of the one who is at the bottom. And compassion on the part of the one who is at the top. As you see the arrows pointing as it goes down counterclockwise, you'll see the word comfort there. As if to suggest comfort to those who are descending. And on the other side, the word courage. That we might offer courage to those who are ascending. and that we might consider that it is but the grace of God that we are now on the top. And it is the grace of God that those who are going down on the left do not descend more speedily than they do. And it is a mercy of God that those who are going around the other way are unable to ascend at all. So when you begin to look at God's wheel of providence, taught to us in the verses that I read, particularly that passage that said, when one member suffers, all suffer with it. It is with some degree of sorrow that the ascending on the other side feel for those whose turn has come at the bottom. And it is compassion by the man who is on the top for the man whose day has come at the bottom. And those who are descending descend with some degree of sorrow that in the providence of God their turn has come to descend. And yet, with some degree of joy, knowing that is surely in the providence of God that they are descending in the wisdom of the Infinite One, some are ascending. We are all in that wheel of providence. Now look at the text. Where it said, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. One thing I want to mention before I forget it. In Corinthians, where it said, if one member suffer, all members suffer with it. And if one member rejoice, or is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, we would arrange it, were we able, where all members are honored. And all rejoicing. Why did God say only one? Was honored. Why did he say only one is suffering? And yet to pick out only one, and the consequence encompasses the whole. Only one is suffering. That's the way God says it. But if it's like it ought to be, all are suffering. And when he said one is honored, all are rejoicing because it encompasses the whole. Everybody is honored, or everybody is suffering. But you see, there must be a willingness on the part of some to descend if others ascend. Because the wheel cannot turn if we stay at the same place. In our philosophy, we would make a flat wheel so we could always stay at the top. And in man's ignorance, he believes that when he's going down, progress is not being made. Yet in the wisdom of God, while some spokes on the wheel of God's providence made up of believers severally, while some are descending, others are ascending, and the progress of the wheel of providence goes on in spite of ourselves. Something else that I pointed out on that board I'd wish to call your attention to. Maybe it's not written on that, but down at the bottom is a cry for help. The man reaching up, crying for help. At the top is a hand reaching down, holding out hope. And remember this, my friend, that the hand that is reaching down today will reach up on another day, just as sure as the wheel turns. Just as sure as there is a wheel of providence, every spoke will experience a time of descent, a time of ascent, a little spell at the top, and a little spell at the bottom. In spite of ourselves, it works that way. Because you know and I know that if we had our way, we would scratch tooth and nail to stay at the top. But there is a very small place at the top of the curve. You move one way or another, the thickness of a needle point, and you are ascending. You move the thickness of a needle point in the other direction, and you are descending. And yet every one of us would stay, were it possible, at the top of the wheel of providence. Now, if as a brotherhood of believers, if in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ we could see ourselves somewhere on that wheel, certainly we would not envy the man who is going up on the other side. Nor would we step on the man who's going down on this side. Nor would we ignore the cry for help at the bottom. But we would reach down with a hand of hope from the top and know how it feels to be at the bottom. How it feels to make that climb from the bottom until you get to the meridian of that circle. It is a difficult thing. Now look at the text. If a brother be overtaken in a fault. Now I know that for the most part, we usually think that it is those who are weak spiritually that fall. In this text, there are weak people and there are strong people. There are those who are considered spiritual, and the inference is, the implication is, that the brother who is overtaken in a fault is not spiritual. Or otherwise, grammar means nothing. But you see, the text, just before we would comfort ourselves by saying, the reason this individual was overtaken with a fault is because they are carnal. They are not spiritual. But then he blows that theory before you finish reading the verse, considering thyself lest thou also. Who? The spiritual. Now then, my friend, do you know that that man at the bottom of that wheel in Galatians 6 and 1 was not a spiritual man on another day? Do you know that? Why, of course you don't know. One of the biggest mistakes that Christians make. And I believe because of diabolic influence is to believe that their being spiritual is a bulwark against and a guarantee against hitting the bottom in the wheel of providence. That, my friend, is a mistake. That is a bad, bad mistake. Be not high-minded, but fear. There he talks to people who have been grafted into the natural stock. And he tells the Gentile believers that God broke off the natural olive branches that they may be grafted in. But he said, be not high-minded. The branches do not bear the stock, but the stock, the branches. Be not high-minded in fear. Fear what? Lest he break thee off. And he says that in that place. Now the application that I want to make is that when these spiritual brethren, as they're called, are exhorted to help the brother who is overtaken in a fall, they are to do so with compassion. They are to do so with consideration. Consideration for themselves and compassion for the other person. And compassion, if you've ever studied the scripture much, compassion is the handmaiden of mercy. Nearly every time in the scripture where you see the Lord Jesus doing some benevolent work, bestowing some sort of blessing, it will be preceded by that handmaiden who runs and says, and he had compassion on the multitude. Now, how can a man who is at the top of the wheel of providence have compassion? Because he once was at the bottom. That's the only way he can. So you see the wisdom of God. Oh, my friend, if you could never descend on that wheel, you would think yourself blessed and very profitable, as a very profitable thing. But you would never know the other experiences. The man at the bottom of the wheel is not rejoicing in the grace of God. He is crying out for the mercy of God. Do you wish to know only the grace of God? Would you not like also to savor the tender mercies of God? That at a time when it is needed desperately, you would know how to feel compassion. I'll tell you, the man who has no compassion either has never been at the bottom of the wheel, or he has a short memory, one or the other. But somehow or another, when we've been saved, we begin to see how short so many people come. Don't you wish everybody was as great a Christian as you are? Don't you now? And it's like I said to Billy Joe. He said one day, he said, I just don't understand. They don't seem to see, and those people. And I said, that's our problem. It's those people and them and they. What we need to do is to put that lariat around us all. And I'll assure you there are people out there that do not understand the things you know, and I wish they did. But I can tell you at the very same breath, there is a great deal more that you do know that you don't do. So it's a matter of degree. We are descending or ascending on the wheel of God's providence. And you see, sometimes we're so happy when we are ascending. When courage is offered to us by the man at the top said, come on, it's just a little piece further and you'll reach the top of the circle. And we are so happy that God is blessing us, so we say, and we are ascending the wheel. And act as if we don't know that somebody, somewhere, is descending on the other side of the wheel. I'll tell you, if this thing gets in your mind like I hope it will, and that's the reason I wanted to put it on there, you are there somewhere, my friend, I don't know where today. I certainly would not dare to say that I am up there at the top, reaching down. I prefer to believe that I'm somewhere on either side of that circle. Which side? I do not know. But one thing, my friend, I can promise you that I have been at the bottom. I know how it feels to be at the bottom of that wheel. And I believe it is then and only then, as Paul said, ye which are spiritual. I believe that a person who claims to be spiritual, who is without compassion, has deceived himself. And those who believe that the ones who fall are those who are not spiritual are also deceived. For the scriptures say, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He didn't add, lest thou fall. That goes without saying. That's what happened to the other fellow that fell. Tempted. Drawn away of his own lust and enticed. For God tempteth no man. On this wheel of providence, we can see our likenesses, we can see our differences, we can see our susceptibilities, and I hope that we can see what our attitude ought to be. Now you see, if the weak cannot be helped, how could they ever be any strong? You know what strong Christians are made of? They're made out of weakness. You know that? That's a fact, Brother Clark. They're made out of weakness. Now, if the man at the bottom cannot be helped, how can there be men at the top? It can't be. If everyone were strong, if everyone were weak, if everyone was strong at the same time, and the strong may fall, our text teaches us, there would be no one left to reach down from the top. But God, in His wisdom, in His providence, keeps a man at the top, always. And he's the man that used to be at the bottom. Oh, what a blessed, blessed truth I see here in this text. So turns the mysterious wheel of providence. Each spoke having his turn at the bottom, and each spoke at the bottom having promise of the top. What a blessing that is. When the spoke is on the bottom, he has promise of the top. because the wheel must turn. God has decreed it so. So, you see, then courage coming down on the other side of the wheel. Those who are ascending the arch there at the top are shouting courage to those who are on the bottom, because they're coming around this way. It is very difficult. And those who are just above shout that there is only a pinpoint between the ascending down here, the difficult, the upside down position, and the easier part at the top. Now I want to ask you something, my friend. Where is the most difficult place to be on that wheel? Where? Huh? No. No, that's the easiest place. The most difficult place on that wheel is between here and here, and between here and that. All you got to do is to see the feet, how they tie the hat on. And I'll tell you, when you reach this point descending, you're on a toboggan slip. And you will go down in a little bit. Up here, the feet slid up a little, little by little, but you're trying to get your footing. But when you get here, my friend, there is no footing. And then you can try to make this incline from here up to here. Oh, my mercy, how the man who's trying to make that needs to hear the cry of courage from those who are somewhere around here on this road. My, what a brotherhood it would be. My, what feelings of compassion it would engender if we just realize what's going on. And it when a brother or a sister slips and slides on this side of the circle, and you offer absolutely no help, you remember this, you are eliminating the possibility of help when the wheel has turned one full turn. There will be no one there. There are people who would like to stay at the top. They will step on the fingers of those who are trying to ascend. And they'll put their foot, or they'll put their feet on the neck of the one who is trying to ascend, and kick in the butt the one who is descending on the other side of the wheel. My friend, there will be a foot waiting for you somewhere along that wheel. There will be no help. Now the sad thing is that when it comes our place and our turn in the providence of God to be at the bottom of the wheel, we act as if progress has stopped. You know, you're down and out. You're in the rut. And consequently, you believe that God's whole program has stopped. Nothing has stopped. It's just your turn at the bottom part of the wheel. God's got people coming up the other side. And you remember that. The apostle said to the church at Corinth, who were weeping and pitying themselves about Christ had not yet come, and here they were, and their loved ones perished. He began to talk to them about the doctrine of the resurrection, and he said that's the reason they're baptizing for the dead. And he wasn't doing what the Jehovah Witnesses do either. He wasn't talking about what the Jehovah Witnesses talking about, baptizing for the dead. Not individuals coming there and being baptized by a number for countless others who are already dead and gone on. What the apostle was talking about, the very figure that we go through, baptizing others to take the place of those who have died, is itself promise of the resurrection. Because there would be no point in replacing those who perish if there were no promise of their rising again. So the very rite of baptism shows that the same truth that I'm trying to get over to you here. Now then, man would make, as I said, a flat wheel, wouldn't you? I would. If I had my way, I'd make a wheel. It wouldn't be a wheel, of course. That's a contradiction term. Contradiction of terms. But you know, just as sure as you're a grown man, if you had your way, you would make a wheel with all of the spokes on the top, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Why, of course you would. And then you would have a wheel that would have turned, and progress would be stopped. You said, do you think then while you are descending, progress is being made? You better believe it. One of the biggest blessings that will ever come to your life is trying to hang on when you're round in that bottom part of the wheel. If you've never been there, you don't know what I'm talking about. And it looks as though you are going backwards. But you see, if you turn this wheel, if you could visualize this wheel turn, when this wheel turns, and you visualize that this is where we are, when that wheel turns, Brother Mark, does it stay right there, or does it move over here? So you see the fellow who is going down here while the wheel is standing, the wheel moves him over the top. He is that much further than he was while the wheel is going down. And the only way that can be is because as that wheel turns, for that wheel to turn from here to here, which is a distance of about 12 inches, it must move 12 inches over here. So the wheel is making progress. It's just you don't seem to be making it. But the plan and the purpose of God is moving ahead. And it is a profitable experience. And you have seen me, and especially when I was younger, somebody said up there one time that I was preaching. And they said they'll never forget it as long as they live. Because I was standing there just like this, and I'm going to pour and fail in it like that. I just want to show you I'm still here. But anyway, I'll say that. Let me show you something. I'll say that. It's not in your legs, so your legs don't come to where you are. Your body's not going to come back where your legs are, but vice versa. And it seems a strange thing, but it's truth.
And sometimes the Christian must fall on his face in order to make progress in grace. And yesterday, you're up there somewhere. It is but the grace of God that you're here somewhere. It is the grace of God. The suffering of the wheel of time. You must be saved. And remember this, that it is the mercy of God that you don't be sinned fast. And if for chance you are down here, it is the mercy of God that you're allowed to ask. Because you see down here someplace, one of the graves of many. By the mercy of God, others have made it. It becomes an issue. All you have to do is to draw yourself sitting out here and find out how easy it would be to walk out there. And up here, my friend, you're standing up on it. And the things are turned upside down. And I believe God turns things upside down in your life sometimes in order to make you appreciate the right side of life. The whole wheel, grace of God and mercy of God, compassion for those who are going down, and courage for those who are coming up, and the hand of hope by the man of God, reaching for the cross of death. The hand of God. One day, as sure as these folks are passing from me to the center of God's church and the Christ, where will this hope be someday? Yes, it will. Here's this man's hand reaching out. Someday, because those folks don't see it in the room, someday, this hand that's reaching out will be up here, reaching down. Now, do you believe that if we really believe, we took the heart of all this teaching as that we can restore such a man? Do you know, I believe, I honestly believe, that in the majority of cases where a person cannot be restored, is because of the lack of understanding of our place in the wheel of God's providence. Because I'm going to tell you, if there is anybody that knows how it feels where that brother is, it is the other men who were once on that spoke of the wheel, and now they're there. Do you suppose that this would enable any of us to look down our nose at the other fellow? Not hardly, because he's on the same wheel with us, and we're going to need him someday. I'll tell you what let's do. Since he's carnal, since he doesn't amount to anything, those of us who are at the top, suppose we just kick him off somewhere off out here and let him go sailing through that. You said you got no business being down there on the edge anywhere. How? Oh. I tell you, if you do that, you're going to draw a thinking. Because I'm going to tell you, there's somebody over this week that's bigger than the foot. And he has a bigger foot than the foot you use to get this man sailing off in the house. That is not God's desire. And I don't believe that God lets these people go around this wheel just because
because he does not love them or does not care, or there's not enough mercy, or there's not enough grace. I believe that God allows the wheel to turn to see what the people that they come up with do. And then he turns it again and to see if the people that have fallen have gone.
I told you a while ago, though, that sometimes we don't go back up the other side. It all ends right down there, for death comes. But until death overtakes us and stops our spinning on the wheel of providence, the wheel will continue to turn. Make sure when you're rounding the top that you encourage those who are behind, said you can make it. It's just a little piece and you're top the arch. But as you see others easing off the arch on the opposite side, comfort them. And say it's a long ways around the wheel, but you'll be back over here. For God, in His grace and in His mercy, will see to it that your spoke returns where I am. For I once was where you are. And that is the brotherhood of believers, and the behavior of that brotherhood that is taught in the Scripture. But I dare say, and with shame, that it is seldom demonstrated by those who are close to the top of that wheel. Let us stand and sing.